and verse 22, the Apostle Paul saying, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me." Not very promising, is it? But none of these things move me, neither count I myself dear unto myself, so that I might finish the course, my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching of the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take to you this record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel of God. There was one thing that kept the apostle going here, I believe, above any other thing, and that was this right here. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. What would cause a man to face such opposition, knowing that he was going to prison, possibly, and may never see them again, may never see those that he was writing to again, his brethren in the Lord, and still, for the sake of the cause, be willing, if necessary, to lay his life down. Now, a lot of us say, well, if it ever came to it, brother, I would give everything I had for the sake of the cause. I would be willing to go lay my head upon the chopping blocks, because we know deep down that we may never be asked to do that. We may never be asked to literally lay down our life for the sake of the cause. What is this cause? Book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and of Samuel, the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in might or in fight, turned the flight of the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented." They were sawn asunder. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. That's one of the famous, our favorite methods of torture, was to sew these Christians up in these sheepskins and these goatskins, and then turn them loose to the lions or to the dogs, and that was a favorite method of torture in those days. And they accepted not deliverance because they realized there was something greater than their self, and that was the cause. The cause. What would you do for the sake of the cause? That's what we'll preach on tonight. The sake of the cause. For the sake of the cause. They refused deliverance. They turned down deliverance. If it meant denying Christ, they turned down their method or mode of freedom for the sake of the cause. The cause of Christ. They were afflicted, destitute, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And verse 1 of chapter 12, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside..." Let me read that again. "Let us lay aside..." He included us. He included himself. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us." What would cause men to give everything that they had and refusing deliverance to be brought before their torturers and brought before the judges, and their life, their very life, were taken from them. Because they realized this, they counted not their life dear to themselves. And if we expect to be anything less, we must not count our life to be very dear to us. And I'm afraid it's an awfully easy trap to fall into. And we say that we would give it all for the sake of the cross. We say if things ever got that bad, that we would lay down our life for Him. But you may never be asked to be sawn asunder. You may never be required to give your life. I may never be required to lay down my life physically, literally speaking, for the cause of Christ. But we may be asked to lay down some other things for Him. Amen. For the sake of this cause. Men that would sell out, would leave their job, would go to do a work, and leave every promise of prosperity behind them for the sake of the cause. And we think, if things were that bad, certainly the grace of God would be overwhelming and cause me to rise to the cause and rise to the occasion. And I too would be included in this great chapter of heroes of faith. Or would we? When we find it so difficult to give up the little things, the menial things, the things that really don't matter anyway. We pile up and we have so much. We have accumulated. And one of the biggest businesses going now is storage units. If you want to make money in this world, in business, you build you some storage units and rent those things out, and they'll fill up quickly. And it'll be a continual income because people are buying like they never have bought before. And Just go down the highway here and see how many that you count. How many businesses that were established for the sake of people just needing another place to put their stuff because they don't have a place to put it in their house. And I was working at General Motors at one time, and a fellow that I worked with, he said, "Hey, I want you to come out and look at my car." And I went out to the door and looked out, and he had a new Vette sitting there. Nice, beautiful car. Brand new Vette. Nothing wrong with a Vette. Nothing wrong with having a new car. But I said, "Boy, that sure is a nice car, and I'm sure that everybody passing by is really going to enjoy it, because as much as you work here and as much time as you put in here, you're going to find very little time to be out there in that new car. And you're making $500, $600, $700 a month payments on it, but the people that's going to enjoy it the most are the people that's going to be passing by." And that's the state of mind that we get into. And I'm not being critical against those that have, but many times what we have just isn't enough when we have to have more. And we don't count our lives, or we do count our lives dear to us, because we seem to find ourselves not satisfied with what even with the things that we have. We have to accumulate more and more and more until personal debt is reached epidemic proportions. I mean, it's no problem to get a credit card these days. I mean, I had a place call me the other day and offer me a credit card of over $100,000 limit. I mean, what in the world are we coming to? I didn't even apply for it. I didn't call and request it. And I've heard other cases of teenagers being allowed to sign on and get a credit card. Their parents put it right in the driver's seat of a credit card so that they can learn how to fall into the same trap that they have, because we're not satisfied and we've got to have more. And what we do have is just not enough. And we treat ourselves so well. And the sake of the cause is diminished by all of the things that we have piled up for ourselves, and all of the debt we have got ourselves into, and all the traps that come along with that, and all the limitations. And it saps your victory, and it steals your freedom to do what God has called us to do. I mean, when you think about men that have given up everything that they've had and every opportunity for advancement to preach the kingdom of God, the redemptive power of the blood of Jesus, the freedom that comes in knowing Him, and they leave everything else behind. Men of promise. Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool if he would choose to give away those things which he cannot keep in order to gain the things which he cannot lose." A man that was heir to vast amount of riches, turned his back on it, and went to a mission field and died a martyr's death for the sake of the cause. I got to looking around down in Allentown, and it's the first time that it ever dawned on me like this, but I saw all of those people, about 1,000, I guess, or so in the morning service that I was able to be in, and something just hit me. You know, these guys don't all live right there in Mobile, Alabama. These guys don't all just live right around the corner and got a paid absentee allowance for being there. These fellas took time off to be there. Every person that I saw took time off of either their job or their ministry, or they are canceled in order to be there so they could partake of something in that service that may get them further along down the road spiritually. And if you were to put a dollar amount on it, it would have to be in the millions, literally in the millions of dollars that was pulled out of the economy, if you will, because of these men leaving their jobs, leaving their ministries, leaving everything else behind to be there at that place because the cause was greater than their own desires and their own ambitions. And for the sake of the cause, they were there. And there's a lot of reason why we do a lot of things and we have a lot of ambitions built up for ourselves. But if the cause of Christ is not paramount in our life, we're laying up treasures that's going to be corrupted and done away with in a short amount of time. Everything that you have is going to get old and worthless with time. That's right. It may be called an antique, but I guarantee you one thing. Most of the things that we have, before we get it paid off, it's not worth 25% of what we're still paying on it. When you think about how much is spent, they say that in America, more money is spent on trying to lose weight than what most countries have to spend on eating. We find that incredible to believe, but more money is spent in exercise programs and weight loss and taking a supplement that may help you reduce your weight. And we're so concerned with how we appear that we don't realize that we've been entrusted with time and with funds and with the ability to help further the gospel. Oh, the gospel is going to go on with or without us, but it may go a little bit better for some with us. I've heard Brother Collins say this: we are either called to go or called to send. I like that. I believe if there was ever a truth that was ever spoken from this pulpit, that is a truth of God. We're either called to go or called to send. And God has blessed us with so many things. And so many without us are doing without. If you would just realize that most pastors that I know make less than a week than most of us do in a day. And one thing I have noticed about our people, and I'm not being overly critical, and I'm not being sarcastic, but many of us enjoy seeing our men of God suffer. And I know around here it's different because the highway has been noted to be a giving church. It's been noted by people that come by that this is one of the most giving churches that there is. But in large, we take great pride in knowing that we've got men out there that are suffering for the kingdom of God. And that's one of the requirements, if we're going to be a man of God, that we're going to do some suffering. But it's also one of the requirements of us who are here and have got something to where we can help others with, that we ease their suffering somewhat. I mean, to tell you, men that we take so many things for granted. We live in such a lap of luxury. But there are others that are not. We need to take heart. We need to take a thought about the things that we do. You know, the Bible says that we are stewards of the things that God gives us. And this is not just a money sermon, but we don't realize but what God has entrusted us with the things of this world in order that we may bless and further the kingdom. No, the kingdom is not, I mean, the kingdom is not bought and sold. No, I don't mean to say that. But in order that somebody else may be able to go further on in their ministry, we must rise to the occasion and say, what can I do? How can I fit in? And I remember Sister Lucille Setzer would have a garage sales in order to make a little bit of money so she could help some preacher along the way. And she was famous for her garage sales. and doing those garage sales because there was something burning deep down in her heart. She loved the gospel and she counted not her life dear unto herself. And even when she was afflicted with cancer and in pain, I remember going on those bus visitations with her and she would drive that car and we'd get out and go knock on doors and she would get out and knock on doors and say, remember to visit so-and-so and drive us up there. Why was it? Because there was a cause that she saw that was greater than herself. And that was the furtherance of the gospel. Why is it that men would lay down their life upon a chopping block? Why is it that men, even this day, they say today that more Christians have been martyred in this century than in all of the other centuries combined? Why is that? Because evil is waxing worse and worse. And men hate the light. They love darkness. And they hate the light. And they hate when their evil deeds are brought to light. But the light must go on. And men must be the one to shine the light. And not to put anybody in an undue manner of guilt. But we need to realize the very things we do from day to day, the wastefulness that we contribute and don't even realize it, the money that flows in and out of our hands and we spend and do things, and it comes to my mind that we've got some out there that could use it a little more than we can. Amen. You got men like Chuck Akers and Kim that are in Venezuela, one of the worst places to be on this globe. Violence and poverty and such sin and such crime. They're able to look out their windows and see people murdered almost on a daily basis. Such corruptness, a drug-infested culture, and they're struggling to do what God has called them to do. Others that have given their lives and their jobs and their comfort zone, if you will, to go to a new place, to start a new work, to be something that they weren't before for the sake of the cause, not for themselves. They had every other opportunity to advance themselves, and they turned that down for the sake of the cause. We've got a lot of reasons for doing the things that we do. Somebody said we buy the things that we can't afford with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. And there's a lot of truth to that. The neighbors get something, and it makes us feel like we're not as prosperous, so we have to get something. And it's a vicious cycle, and we find ourselves forever working to make payments, get payments to work, and working to make payments, and we never find ourselves fulfilled in doing the will of God. What causes men to give all they have? Because they see that the cause is greater than their own ambitions and their own desires. You look at people and you shake their head and you say, he had a good job. He had benefits. He had retirement. He had a personal absentee allowance days. He had holidays. He had all the things that go with having a good job. He had it made. What in the world has gotten into him? He saw the cause greater than his own ambitions. It's happening on a daily basis. I'm more encouraged about the holiness movement than I ever was before. Not that we've had more than we've ever had before as far as people willing to be in the ministry, because daily almost I hear somebody else that has fallen, another ministry that has washed out and have gone down the tubes. It's almost, I mean, hardly a week goes by and I hear somebody else that has thrown away their ministry and their life and their witness and their testimony and everything else has thrown it away for just a few moments of carnality and fleshly desire, had thrown it all away. And so it's not the amount, but it's the desire that I see within those that we do have, that says, no matter what happens, I'm going to continue to do the will of God in my life. And I've seen a lot of them this past week that their fervency and their zeal and their ambition to do the will of God was greater now than it has ever been, because they see that the time is evil and they must persevere and they must continue to spread the light. Yes, sir. Amen. And I know this to be true, that our desire to do His will is in relation to how much that we know Him. I mean, it's synonymous with what we know of Him comes the desire that we have to serve Him. And we beat our head against the wall sometimes and we wonder, why aren't our people measuring up? Why aren't they doing better than what they're doing? Why aren't they more faithful to the house of God? Why don't they give more than what they're giving? Well, it's just a simple analogy here. Our commitment is directly proportional to our relationship. We cannot love Him. We cannot do more than what we love Him. And those that love Him supremely are willing to give supremely. Those that have a desire to do more for God, the reason that they do is that they've come to know Him more. Your knowledge and your experience of God will drive you to do more than you've ever done before. Not drive you to complain and drive you to bitterness. And I know, in the ministry, it's a shameful thing to say, but folks become bitter in the ministry because they're not treated any better than what they are. I did not get into the ministry to be treated anyway. I got into it because my love and desire for Jesus Christ overwhelmed my heart. And He saved me out of a sinful home and took away every evil desire that I had. And my love for Him grew and grew. And the more that I loved Him, the more that I desired to be used of Him. It's not for what they can do for me. And we should do for the men of God. But I know those that are growing bitter. I know those that have ruined their entire family and the attitude that they have toward holiness because of the bitterness that they have so nursed in their life. As a mother would cradle a little baby, they've cradled that bitterness and said, I should not have been done that way. After all that I have done for them. After all the sacrifice that I have made for them. Yeah. Hebrews tells us of those that were sawn asunder. That gave their very life for the sake of the cause. For the sake of the cause. Our life will be, our desire in our life will be exactly proportional to how much that we love Him. It really will. Let's find a place to pray tonight. Let's ask the Lord to draw us to Him. I mean, if you're frustrated, if you don't know where you fit in, if you think that somebody has done you wrong and they've not treated you fairly, just think about what Christ had went through. Think about what these men and women had went through so that we could have it a little easier. And think, Lord, I want to love You more. And as we begin to love Him more, our desire will grow more to do more than what we ever have before. Because we'll see the cause is greater. The cause is greater. Amen. Let's pray.